Hi, I'm Paul Elliott, also known as Dr. Gonzo. After more than 15 years as a volunteer and presenter at 3CR, I've decided it's time for me to step down. I first walked through the doors as a receptionist for a few hours a week, before eventually finding my way onto the airways with Planet X on Thursday nights. That first program, back on the 6th of October 2011, was a mix of everything I loved. Sound samples from the BBC TV show Gurney Slade, the irreverence of the Church of the Subgenius, and music from artists like Phrase and Robin Hitchcock, along with a guest appearance from Simon Strong of Pink Stainless Tale. From the very beginning, it felt like a space where anything could happen, and sometimes it did. Not long after, I took on the role of 3CR music coordinator, working with artists, managers, and record companies to organise interviews and share new releases across the station. Seeing the ever-growing pile of CDs, yes, CDs, made me realise there was an opportunity to do more, to give this music a proper home on air. That led to the creation of Music Matters in 2013, a show I was lucky enough to build alongside two wonderful people, Jane Brownrigg and Renee Paradise. Jane in particular brought such passion and warmth to the program, and her loss in 2024 is still deeply felt. The show continued in her spirit, and I'm incredibly proud of what we created together. When COVID changed everything in 2020, I found myself rethinking what radio could be. Out of that uncertainty came And This One's Introduced By, a format that allowed artists to tell their own stories, to introduce their songs in their own words, and to be heard in a deeper, more personal way. What started as a necessity became something I truly loved, whether it was emerging artists getting their first extended airtime or musicians I'd admired for years generously sharing their stories. Each episode felt like a conversation, a collaboration, and a small piece of history being preserved. Over time, I had the privilege of working with an incredible range of artists, from local voices to international favourites, and almost without exception, hearing the stories behind the music only deepened my appreciation of it. After lockdowns ended, inviting artists into my home studio added another layer to the experience. Real conversations, shared moments, and a reminder of why community radio matters so much. Now it feels like the right time to step aside and make space for new voices. And This One's Introduced By will be taken on by a team of four presenters, and I'm genuinely excited to hear where they take it next. To everyone who listened, contributed, supported, or simply tuned in, thank you. Community radio only exists because of that shared spirit, and I've been lucky to be part of it. I'll still be listening to the show and to 3CR.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Tiff from Blanco Trenco, and we'd like to invite you to join us and our psychedelic sidekick, Dr. Gonzo, on a musical exploration here on And This One's Introduced By on community radio station 3CR. Sorry, I thought there was two sentences. I was going to stop.
That sounded really good.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gonzo, and This One's Introduced By is a 60-minute program where we listen to tracks from an album introduced by the artist who made the album. Thanks for listening, and This One's Introduced By Bianco Tranco's debut album, The Imagined Life, is a raw and honest look at what it means to finally grow up. Written over several years, the record captures the distance between the lives we imagine for ourselves and the messy realities we end up living. Across its tracks, the band explores heartbreak, self-doubt, and the struggle to move on. It's a record about learning to let go of people, of expectations, and of the versions of ourselves that no longer fit. The songs move between quiet reflection and the full band release, blending lo-fi warmth with emotional grit. The Imagine Life is about realizing that the stories you tell yourself don't always line up with the truth, the band says. It's about coming to terms with that and finding a kind of peace in the process. The result is an introspective, cathartic debut that marks Blanco Tranco as a band unafraid to dig deep. The Imagine Life is out through their Bandcamp page and on all streaming platforms. Tiff and Mark from Blanco Tranco joins Dr. Gonzo to present the album The Imagine Life on, and this one's introduced by, on Community Radio, 3CR.
Hi, how's it going? I'm Mark. I play bass in a project called Blanco Tranco.
And I'm Tiff. I sing in our band Blanco Tranco.
We're here to kind of introduce and also give you guys a bit of a rundown of our newly released album, The Imagined Life, which we're really excited to release on Honey Glider Records. Woo-hoo. So just a bit of an intro. We are a project that got started about 5 years ago, just before COVID. Our guitarist, Matt, who kind of spearheaded and masterminded, I guess, and initiated the whole thing, he was a kind of a newcomer to Melbourne and was keen to start a project. So he actually put up a few like ads on Gumtree. Band Mix is another one where he was up, and myself and our drummer, Soph, got in touch and thought we had a lot in common just in terms of shared musical interests. Some of the stuff we talked about when we first got together with acts like Dive, The Cure, The Smiths, things like that. And then after just one or two gigs, we decided to go out and get a singer, and we came across the amazing Tiff, who Matt found on SoundCloud, actually doing her awesome kind of solo work. And she very graciously decided to come in, and she'd done all these amazing actually vocals over the instrumentals that we already had that Matt had written. And that's how we got started. We played a few awesome gigs before COVID and then kind of had to take a little break, as everyone did for that. But then...
That was... not the best. Like we when they found me on SoundCloud, I've been trying to join a band for so long. I love working on my own, but I just really I lack the motivation. So it's good when like working with other people. And I was just so keen to get started. As Mark said, I'd already written songs to their instrumentals before our first practice. I was so keen and started off. We hit the ground running and then, yeah, lockdown pretty much straight away. We had our first gig at the Tote, which was awesome. And, yeah, then pretty much straight after that we went into full lockdown.
Yeah, it was funny being in lockdown and thinking about, oh, did that really happen? Like in the depths of not being able to see everyone. I'm like, geez, am I still in a band? Is that still happening? But then, coming back from that, we've... did a few recordings, put out two EPs in the time since then, but then coming around to The Imagine Life, this is our debut full-length album.
Yep. First album. So I think we were pretty nervous to actually put an album together. It's hard enough to get people to listen to an EP, I think, the whole way through. It's a single kind of economy at the moment. Everyone, short songs, but... I'm really glad that we did it. I think what came together is something amazing, and we're really proud of it. So we're going to introduce each song and talk a bit about it.
All right. Yeah, I guess the full crew for our band was me and Tiff, obviously. I play bass. Tiff does vocals. We also got Matt, who I mentioned before, who does guitars, and then also the amazing Sophie, who is our drummer. So that's the four of us. We're kind of just like a four-piece. I guess how the album came together was just as usual. We had like a few songs kicking around, ideas kicking around. I kind of felt like after doing a few EPs, I felt like it was time we'd earned it. We kind of like graduated to that level where I think we justified putting out a full length. So we got in the studio with our good friend Callum Newton. He produced our second EP. And he's just like an amazing producer to work with. His like workflow is really fast. He knows how to make it like sound really forward and really full. So we booked in a few sessions with him. It was a bit disjointed because we just like come in, do a few days here, do a few days there.
And we didn't have all our songs.
Yeah, we were flying blind for a little bit. We, I guess, did like recorded a few and then went away, wrote some more, came back and then did the remainders. But it doesn't sound like it because it sounds like really cohesive. He's a master at like putting it all together. So yeah, it was recorded in spurts over, I guess, this year.
Almost two years, because we started in 2023, I think, recording.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a big project. Okay, so we are going to listen to our first track now. It's called Another Sheltered Life.
This is a really cool track because it kind of it comes out the gate running. It's kind of like one of our lead singles because it's kind of like upbeat. It's kind of fast. We played it live and we'd have people coming up to us being like, "What's that song with like the guitar bit that goes whoop?" And we're just like, "Oh, right, Another Sheltered Life. Yeah, that one." So it was cool to kind of like put it out there and make that connection for people. All right, what's it about, Tiff?
Well, that is a great question. I think the meaning has kind of changed for me over time, which can happen sometimes with lyrics that I write because I don't always know exactly what I'm saying until afterwards and I analyze and I'm like, okay, I think that's something's coming out in me subconsciously. I think the main theme is thinking that you're on track with your life and that's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to go. You've worked through some other... Can I swear? Great. You've worked through a bunch of shit. Everything's kind of looking good. And then it all goes to crap again. That frustration, but also the relief of knowing that you didn't... That wasn't the end. That wasn't it, even though you thought it was going to be. So at the time, it was about a specific relationship that I'd been in for a really long time and it had become so toxic, even though I thought it was going to be forever, you know. By the time it was really, truly done, it was like a sigh of relief. And this song was a kind of tribute to that. The catharsis of starting fresh, even though it's frustrating, it's freeing. Yeah. So let's listen to it. This is Another Sheltered Life.
Fuck, I'm not the enemy. I tried for your greatness in life.
This next song is called Baby Blue. I think this started as one of your kind of like solo sketches. Is that right, Tiff?
It did. This is the only song we've ever put out that started with an idea of mine. So it was a voice memo from 2018 that was literally just really basic chords on keyboard and the first verse and chorus. And I'd sent a bunch of these random voice memos over to the rest of the guys, and Matt ended up writing something for it, which is, it's so crazy that it was around that long and it actually turned into a full song.
Yeah, it was kind of like a last minute, well, not last minute, but like it was one of the last songs that we put together for the album. It was, yeah, kind of surprising. It like sounds different from all of the other ones, which I like. It's all the riffs are like doing different kind of like spidery things, and they shouldn't work together, but they kind of do. Yeah, it's really cool. One of the later ones to come on. And then we had to give it like kind of pride of place up there as like the second track. It's really good.
I think you can hear the difference in the song. At least I can. They feel different depending on who started them, who birthed them, I suppose. The songs on the album that you wrote, I think, feel different to the ones that Matt wrote. And then I think Baby Blue feels different to all of them, at least to me. But yeah, it was weird to actually go back and finish it because, yeah, it was 2018 that I'd started writing it and I was very angsty at the time. I was going through, I was in a relationship, but I was in love with somebody else and they were in love with me too, but they were with someone else. And it was just this whole messy thing. But I think great songs come out of those situations. But by the time we went to finish it, all of that was over. I don't have either of those people in my life anymore and I didn't really care anymore. So it was hard to go back and connect emotionally. It was an interesting, what's the word, exercise. But I think it was cool. It went from being in it to being reflective. So yeah, it's a standout kind of from the rest.
Yeah, it's its own kind of beast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, this is Baby Blue.
Play this
Pinhead Larry.
It's our third song.
This one's really cool. And one Matt kind of brought in.
This was an old one as well, like back before even the first EP was released, right?
Yeah, it's one of the instrumentals I think he did while we're in COVID lockdown.
Same batch as Rosie, which is from our first EP, and Punch Drunk Love, which is the opening track of our second EP. So it's been around since then.
Yeah. I like it because it's just like really simple, but like, really simple, like a real simple kind of like ballad, simple kind of chord progression, but it's just like the melody on it's so cool. The chorus is so cool.
Yeah. I think it's the longest song on the album. We don't have any songs longer than 4 minutes. And it's the closest to 4 minutes. And I think we didn't even really notice because it varies a lot throughout the feeling. I think because I said like this one's old as well. We had a similar thing where Matt sent all these songs through in lockdown. He called them self-isolation demos. And this was one of my favorites from like the get-go. So I wrote the verse straight away and then I couldn't think of anything else for the rest of the song. And so it just stayed there. Several EPs came out and then they were like, come on, we got to do something with this song, please. And finally, we got Pinhead Larry.
It had a different name for a while, but then it just became Pinhead Larry.
It was ISO 3.
But it didn't have a medium? Oh, all right. Who's Pinhead Larry? For the people.
Pinhead Larry. It's my it's a past relationship. I was just out of high school and I met this guy and I was like, this is what love is. I think I felt I experienced that for the first time and it was super intense for me. Apparently not so much for him. So it was still, you know, we were together for 2 years, this slow realization for me that he was getting less and less interested, but not leaving either or not telling me that, just, you know, that thing that boys do where they go, I'm just going to be terrible until you leave me.
Oh, no.
So it was a bit of that going on. There was a bit of kind of abusive behavior. It was really emotionally exhausting, and while it was upsetting and everything, this song is more about just the exhaustion of that situation and frustration, just not understanding, wanting to try and fix it and not being able to accept that it is it's done, it's cooked.
Thank you for going deep on that. I actually meant, who's the SpongeBob character?
Patrick Starr.
All right, this is Pinhead Larry.
I'm gonna blow up you.
All right, bold for a moment. This is one of the two songs I kind of just wrote the instrumental for. I guess I was listening to, I think, like Rock the Casbah by The Clash, and it's got that cool kind of backbeat.
Great
song. I was like, oh, we haven't really got a beat like that. So I was kind of started from that, and then it kind of evolved to this thing where it's like got this kind of like, I wanted like to feel kind of like a bit floating and weightless, like a bit like 80s REM. That's like really kind of like simple jangly guitar, but like, yeah, having that kind of like feeling of, I guess that, yeah, that song Man on the Moon by REM, just like that kind of like feeling of like floating, weightlessness.
Zero gravity.
It's another synonym. So, yeah.
It's actually my favorite song.
Yeah, thank you very much. That was kind of the genesis of it. And then, yeah, Tiff put these really amazing vocals to it. Tell the people.
Yeah, it's my favorite. It's my favorite song on the album, and it's probably my favorite. They're probably my favorite lyrics as well. Just more because they're reflective of, yeah, how I was feeling about this certain situation, and I think a bit more cynicism and looking at it with a bit more humor rather than taking it so seriously. Oh, I'm heartbroken. Oh, this just like. Isn't it funny how shit this is? Is I think more the vibe. Like you do so much for someone and okay, lol.
So you put some distance from the situation, yeah.
Yeah.
Looking like kind of like a looking back kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's floaty, I feel, just kind of like looking back and going whatever.
That's a cool angle on it.
Yeah.
We recorded it and then Callum was like, I think it needs something else. So I went away and did a like this kind of guitar piece for it. Like it's got this little like solo in it. That's the only guitar I kind of played on the album at all. That's just a cool little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is.
So let's hear it.
Bold for a moment.
Bold for a moment.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Yes, our fifth song, end of side A.
End of side A. This is like a real belter. Just like I love playing it live. We just pick it like Surf does, like the cannon, and then just like barrel into it, like boom.
It's so fun.
Yeah,
I think bold for a moment, but also I love this one so much. It's got it had single energy, so we put it out as a single, and I feel like it was well received.
It's serving single for sure.
It's serving single. It is the where we got the title of the album. Mark really liked. There was arguments, okay, about the name of the album, but Mark had brought up a few times the line at the start of Eyes Wide Shut says, "Pick my meds up, mourn my imagined life," and we ended up going the imagined life. A bit more dramatic. But I think that Eyes Wide Shut is kind of, if you could generalize the entire album, it's that song.
It's got everything.
Yeah, that's the theme of the entire thing is, yeah, the disillusionment and realizing that things aren't going to be exactly as you dreamed them to be, and it's probably for the best. Yeah.
I really like on this one how, like, the bridge, it has, like, a different kind of feel to it. Like, the verse and the chorus is, like, dramatic, and then the bridge is, like, it takes it to this other area and then just comes around back, like.
Do you remember that there was a different bridge?
Yeah, there was, like, a jazz breakdown.
Really liked the jazz breakdown, but Callum, the producer, did not. He said, "I don't think this is going to take." It's a really poppy kind of song, and so they went away and wrote something else. I do miss the jazz breakdown.
It plays in my head every time we play it live. I'm like, should I do it? Nah, keep it how it's supposed to be.
I'm happy with how it ended up. That being said,
how does it relate to the movie?
It doesn't. And this is an exclusive. I've not actually seen the movie. I think that the name of it is funny because there's an episode of Kath and Kim where they talk about Eyes Wide Shut, the movie, and it's really funny. And when I think the lyrics, I have something to do with your eyes closed. And, yeah, that was just what came to my head. When I save files on Logic, I give it whatever name comes to my mind. And that's what it was.
I haven't seen the movie either. I spent this whole time thinking it was maybe about Tom Cruise getting freaky in a mask or something.
It definitely is about that. I know for sure it's about that. Anyway, this is Eyes Wide Shut.
Thank you.
I'm Tiff.
And I'm Mark. We're from Blanco Trenco, and you're listening to And This One's Introduced By, where the artist, that's us, introduces tracks from their album here on 3CR. Okay, is this futility?
Yes. Well, no. Perhaps, is it? This is our sixth song, Side B.
Opener. Side B. It's a slow burn on Side B. Yeah, it's cool. It's just got like, we have other songs like Homecoming that we've done previously that are kind of similar. Yeah,
this is the only one that's slow build up. Yeah, it's actually tuned down. I think it's in drop D. Is it?
I don't know.
Which so Matt now has to use a second guitar to play it, which I love. I love how it sounds. One of my favorite bands, Violent Soho, plays all of their songs in drop D. So it just gives it something angsty, I guess, something quite, yeah, a bit dark. And this was one of the last ones we wrote as well. I found it difficult. I was going through a lot of writer's block when we were writing the second half of the album. The first half was easy. We had those songs for ages. But the next five I found super difficult. What this song became, I think the bridge part, the breakdown, I wrote in the car on the way to the studio, just kind of came out of me finally. It really all felt like it was tapping something within, but it actually spans. I started writing it at the beginning of a relationship and being all lovey-dovey, like, if this doesn't work out, I don't even care. Like, I'm just having such a good time. The middle of it was as it was kind of breaking down, and that last part I wrote after the relationship had totally crumbled. So it's a chronological recount of, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really like that this song is like towards the end, it kind of like really ratchets it up. It's like a real classic kind of bridge that gets like higher and higher, and yeah, it just increases that tension, even though the song like starts out really like quiet.
And there's not really a chorus either. There's not much repetition.
This slab of
sad music. And yeah. Whining.
All right, this is Longing Is.
No, it's Is This, is this Futility.
My
this
bad.
Is This Futility.
When I looked at your face, I
Longing is suffering. This is a cool kind of like short one. I know Matt has talked about it having like kind of like the bones of like a Blink 182 song, kind of like a pop punk type like chord progression melody thing. Not super long, just kind of gets to the point.
Yeah, I really like this one. It's punchy, but it's also sorrowful in a way. I think Matt has a great knack for adding that feeling of, it is longing. I think that is actually the sound, is it sounds like longing. And yeah, that was the what it was about as well. Just, I guess specifically for me, it was like going back to an ex thinking like, this is good, this is great. And then obviously it never is. And it felt absolutely terrible. I actually wrote the song the following day, just don't sleep with your ex. That's the lesson that we learn. And that's the message behind the song.
There you go. Yeah, that lyric, like, you let me down again. This is the last
time. This time is the last time. And it was.
I mean, Matt even gave it, before you even put any words to it, Matt's title for it was Longing is Suffering. So it couldn't have ever been anything other than something dramatic. So.
Yeah, that's
it. This is Longing is Suffering. Jacaranda.
Our first single,
yeah. This one, it feels like a spiritual successor to this, one of our older songs called Lara. It's just, it feels very tense. It's like maybe a bit like, if you know the band like Block Party, just a whole lot of like tension and hard driving riffs and...
big walls of dark, tense chords.
Exactly, yeah. It's one of those numbers.
We all really were into this song. We had our five ones that we did first, had a massive break, did the other five. This was one of them. And I think we all kind of agree that, like, how are we going to do as good or better than the ones we've already written? That one just came together as it wasn't even like pre-written. It just Callum had all these really great ideas as we went, and it just built and built. And we, by the end of it, we're like, oh my God, this is actually like one of the best, I reckon, which is how it ended up being the first single. And it is a bit different in terms of what it's about. It was actually inspired by my friend had a hookup, and the guy was wearing a like a Jesus on a cross necklace, and it kept hitting her in the face.
Oh no.
So I came from I grew up in a really religious school, and not religious now, but it made me think about all of that religious guilt and shame that comes with, you know, sex. And I think that story just, it made me laugh, and it's kind of what the song is about. Yeah, wanting more and knowing that there is, I don't know, more to life. And also, I guess, religion as a bit of a metaphor for sex itself. People see sex as religion too. But yeah, I like that it's different. I like that it's not all just wah, which is usually what I write about.
No, it's cool. It's like, I like it when bands like pick up stories around the place that are like, aren't like necessarily about them, but it's just like things they hear about, or like, yes, yeah, things they pick up from friends or stories. So shout out Mr. One Night Stand, Self Guilt, wherever you are. Thanks for the inspo. This is
Jacaranda.
Cloud Talk. This one is another instrumental I kind of like put together.
Birthed by Mark.
Birthed by me. Yeah, I was thinking, I don't know if you know, like bands like the XX that make music that sounds like really sort of quiet and minimal. And I thought it'd be cool to kind of like have a crack at something like
and
that.
And rhythmically.
Yeah.
Kind of different.
Exactly. It's another one that kind of lumbers along a bit. I wrote a bass part that's like maybe a bit too busy for it, but it kind of like, I feel it all comes together. I thought it'd be cool to try this thing where it's like we're building up to this noise in the chorus and the chorus feels like kind of dramatic and then it like kind of falls away and there's like a bit of guitar noise that just like kind of rings out a bit while the rest of the band just drops back to something really minimal. So I think we kind of pulled it off.
Yeah, I think so too. Honestly, when I first listened to it, I was like, this is a mess. I was like, this song is a mess. But you are right. It's like once you get your head around it, you're like, oh no, this is really cool. I really like this. And I ended up, I found it difficult to write to because rhythmically I thought it was hard to latch onto. But once I did, I was like, no, this guy knows what he's doing.
I don't, but we had to change it. I think we changed it a little bit. Like,
yeah, I'm still pissed about that.
Yeah, the drums in the studio. Oh, you liked it before.
This is band drama. We're airing out grievances. No, I think either way, like, it sounds so good. And when we play it live, it sounds a bit different as well. I love that song. It was really another very cathartic one to write. I have such a bad habit of just hanging on to past relationships and everything. And it was a real, like, okay, now I'm putting this specific relationship to bed. This is what I would say to this person, to their kind of face if I could. And
yeah, I love that lyric. Like, I still talk to you in movie moments. Like, you watch a movie and you think about, yeah, this person.
Yeah.
That's like the kind of vibe. Reminiscing.
Reminiscing, yeah. Reminiscing and I wish you well, essentially. Yeah. So this is Cloud Talk.
Just why lie and try? Don't waste your time, don't waste your time. You waste your life. Suck it up again and give you hell. Breaking my teeth to sing to some things I thought you were scared parallels, but I prefer. And what is it you make of?
NYE, last song on the album.
And last one to be recorded.
Last one to be recorded.
And the last one to be written.
This is cool. It's like, it's got a kind of like, almost like a little, kind of like a dub reggae kind of feel. Like, it's kind of like lumbering But we do it in our way where we kind of build it up into something big and noisy.
It's really different for us. It's by far the slowest in terms of, yeah, tempo. It's more, I don't know, it takes its time with things. When I, lyrics-wise, it's one of the first ones that's not actually based on anything personal or anything I've had experience. It was a made-up kind of story, character, and exploring feelings I was having at that time about looking at my younger self and comparing, but yeah, turning it into something that was had nothing to do with me. It was a hard one to write, as you know. I kept putting it off. I didn't have anything, and it was another one that just day of, it finally came to me. I have ADHD, and it's a real thing that you can't do anything till the last second, and then all of a sudden you get this ridiculous like burst of just being able to do, like your brain opens up and all of a sudden you can. And that was literally this song, and the last part, like this chant almost, that brings the whole song together and the whole album to a close. And I don't know where it came from, but I think it's awesome.
Yeah, that ending bit, I don't want to fall in. Yeah, that's really cool. Yes, you're right. It's the crescendo of the album. And it's like when we were picking the track order, we're like, this one has to come last.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was funny because Matt wrote the instrumental on New Year's Eve 2 years prior or a year prior. And then I wrote the vocals like a year later on New Year's Day. So it was kind of, it's exactly as it should be.
Yeah, it's got that New Year's energy to it. Yeah. This is NYE. Thanks for listening. We've been Blanco Chanko, and
thank you.
We've given you a run through of our debut album, The Imagine Life, available. You can find it on Bandcamp, all good record stores, the bad ones too.
Everywhere.
Exactly. On streaming as well. But thank you so much. Thanks, Paul, for having us. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to an episode of And This One's Introduced By. I'm Dr. Gonzo, and I'll be presenting another artist with another album next time on This One's Introduced By. Catch you next time.
Blanco Tranco. Police support community radio 3CR. Get involved and find out more on the website at 3cr.org.au.
Thank you, Mark Howell and Tiff Brown from the band Blanco Tranco, introducing the tracks from their album The Imagine Life by Blanco Tranco. Keep an eye out when they play at a venue near you. The band mentioned a few musical influences during their chat, and also mention a couple of bands that they like in their bio. So let's take a listen to a few of them. The Clash, The Cocteau Twins, and Brian Eno. Donny Moe is an atmospheric piece from the Cocteau Twins album Treasure, released on 4AD Records in 1984. Going back to 1975 when Brian Eno released the album Discreet Music, with the last piece on the album called Brutal Ardor. But first, this Clash track is an unreleased tune. The Beautiful People Are Ugly Too. I'm Dr. Gonzo. Thanks for listening to 3CR. And this one's introduced by... Bye for now.
Without pretense is lit up on the fence. Down on an itchy coupon bench,
and the beautiful people are ugly too. There's gonna be a lot of washing when the dance is
lot of beautiful people are ugly too. There's gonna be a lot of watching when the dance is alone. And famous people strike, they live a year in a week. They're ready to be great if they got a receipt.